Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
So, we're going to talk about hosting and during the holidays. And for me, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. And I tell people constantly, you know, somebody just asked me the other day, they were taking their dog home and their dog didn't like men, and they had company coming in. Actually, it's a guy's brother's. And he was asking what they should do. And it was Bruce. I mean, we talked about him. What was Bruce, 3 or 4 or 5 years old or something?
I don't remember how old he is. He's not
a puppy, but he didn't really like men, and he hadn't seen this guy's brother since he was a puppy. And I told him, I'd just bring him here and board him. And then if they would like to bring his brothers over, we'll introduce the brother to Bruce. And then just take Bruce back home if he's cool, you know?
Yeah. Or don't, but why introduce the dog that just got out of rehab to someone?
I mean, to me, it's really cool if you want to do it here, you know?
Yeah.
But not at home because sometimes the owners are nervous.
You don't want to go too far too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that whenever you're having anything, any kind of party, it doesn't matter. I think if your dog's not real capable of staying out of trouble, and if the people you're hosting a party for or event or whatever, if they're not really good about leaving your dog alone.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah, it's both the same, you know. The dog's not good or the people's not good. You really have to try to figure out what way is best to... for me, I always say... I'm a lawyer for my dogs and my clients' dogs because I try to keep them out of trouble. And if they do make a mistake, I figure out how to fix it, you know, without them going to doggy jail, you know, or the dog pound or whatever. But I think there's too many times that people even take a dog home from training here, board and train, and they get in trouble and they don't get a hold of us immediately to try to fix that problem. Whether it is company to come over or neighbor's dog or whatever. And you just let it get worse and worse and worse. It makes it hard. I'm trying to read some notes here. Excitement up. I'm guessing that's getting your dog all excited and getting him in trouble.
Well, I think if you have, if your dog's not desensitized to having a group of people in your home frequently, then you have, holidays are really bad because it's like you either have real weird family vibes, like you haven't seen this family in a year and now you're getting together and maybe you're stressed, maybe there's new babies, maybe they bring their dogs. Who knows? It's either like super stressful or it's really exciting. It's never like a calm environment that the dog is used to, right?
And that's always comes down to the fact is, I don't know. For me, I just can't imagine like me going to my sister's house and take my dogs and let them meet my sister's dogs. My sister's dogs are super cool for them, you know.
Yeah.
But if I brought a strange dog in the house, it wouldn't go well at all. I don't feel, you know.
Unless you, like, regularly do that.
Well, for me, my sister and them lives, you know, a couple thousand miles away, so I never hardly do it, you know. And the goal for people is to be able to bring your, especially if you got a little bit of a property or a yard, a big yard. When your family comes over, bring their dogs and let the dogs, your dogs and their dogs play while you and the family visit, you know. But that's kind of a pipe dream a lot of times because one person's dogs might be really low-keyed, don't want to bounce around and play, and the other dog might want to bounce off the walls like Rebel, you know. And they just don't vibe together. But here you put them backyard together and then, you go in the house and have a cup of coffee and then you have a dog fight in the backyard and then your dog's stressed out, in my opinion, because you didn't protect your own dog. Yeah. You know, you threw him out there to get in trouble, and or vice versa. You know, you threw your good dog out there or your bad dog out there and got your family's dog in trouble. Same difference. You still didn't hold up for your dog and keep him out of trouble. So, the boarding the dog is always me. If you board it in a good spot, now the same thing there. You don't want to board your dog where it's going to get in trouble.
Right.
But if you have your dog boarded in a good spot, or a good spot to board your dog, I should say, for sure I would. I mean, it's usually a day or two that you've got a lot of family running in and out, and neighbors and strangers or whoever, strangers to your dog anyway.
Right.
You might have just got you a new dog from a rescue, and then here you invite 20 people over to have a big old get-together, and not even a party necessarily, dinner or whatever, you know. But yet you have this shelter dog there or a strange dog. It just normally don't always go the best. Even if you have a real high-energy, happy dog, and you invite 15, 20 people over, and this little dog just running around, jumping on everybody and mouthing at everybody and untying your shoes, and everybody there is having fun. And then when they go home, you're not going to have as much fun because you got to try to get all this back under control.
Right.
And it makes it really hard to set your dog and yourself up for success. And here recently I was talking to someone about this, and I told him, you know, the way to do it, like for here, if you do board and train, you know, when you go back home with your dog, invite one or two good friends over, or a couple, you know, that's going to respect what you ask them to do with your dog, and then get your dog used to them, you know, and then the next time maybe have a couple more people over and just keep trying to add to it.
It's almost like if you take a dog out of a rehab, you know, if the dog had trouble before, when you take them home, you can't train and practice when you're having family over to have family over. You have to have company over
to train on dog. The dog. Yeah, for sure. And who was it, Finn, here a while back? And don't try this at home, you know, because, I mean, but he had like 40 people over with Finn, and Finn was loose and just mingled and didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, but he had been following the program for a while.
Yeah, he'd been working at it so hard. Yeah. And he came to clinics and lessons, and now I ain't seen Finn for, I don't even know, a month or two, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, he stepped up his game and really followed, and Tucker, the Rhodesian's the same way, I guess. He's done really great, and I haven't seen Tucker. I've seen somewhere, so I thought he was coming in or something. But
for boarding, yeah.
Yeah, for boarding for a little while. But anytime you put your effort, even if you go rescue a dog from a shelter and you take it home, you still should try to train on it, or for me, instantly start trying to train on it and figure out what it can do and can't do and what you need to work on. And
don't go from 0 to 60.
Yeah, don't go to me. Don't even invite friends over until you kind of figure your dog out, or put your dog up if you do invite friends over, you know, to get your dog to doing really good. And the social stress of this stuff is for me, is huge, because you get people who drag their dog that's not real comfortable and confident. They drag that dog out to pet everybody to pet it at these social get-togethers for the holidays, and they want everybody to meet their new dog, and they want everybody to pet it, and they want their dog to love everybody. And normally it's one or two things: the dog's scared to death, or a dog's jumping all over people, and neither one of those is what I would want to do. Most people don't mind dogs jumping on them. Most people don't mind dogs licking on them, you know, mouthing on them till they get bit. So the social stress of this is, it's what just gets a dog in so much trouble that's not even necessary. I mean, it's just not necessary. If you have Joe Bob, your brother, come in once every 5 years to visit you, if your dog can get along with Joe Bob really good, and Joe Bob can get along with dogs really good, then heck yeah, bring your dog out and let him say hi and hang out. Let him play some fetch with your dog, or take him for a walk, or whatever they can do. But for me, your dog really needs to be socialized with that type of environment, with strangers, you know. Like us at the river, I wouldn't just take my dog up to a stranger and be like, hey, you want to pet my dog? Not, I mean, they don't need to be socialized in that manner, you know. We socialize dogs here a lot because we have a lot of employees and volunteers and people that come in and out, you know, and the grandkids, when they come over, like Clay, ranch manager, he come up and played with pups the other day, and I brought him in a lesson with Jackson and told the people, you know, for me, it's really good, and don't do this at home either, you know, but it's really good for these pups to learn to be around little kids, because if you're... your kids just growed up, moved out, and you want to try to socialize your puppy with little kids so that one day whenever you have grandkids, you know, you've got to try to figure it out. And for me, it's the same difference as a stranger comes in your house and you want to try to get your dog used to him. I make the stranger leave my dog alone. And then I make my dog leave the stranger alone for a few minutes until I see how my dog interacts. And then I'll let my dog go up and sniff on the guy or the gal and just let them kind of mingle that way rather than drag my dog over there to get it socialized with somebody. Bianca, you got anything to add to that?
I'm just going to run through my pack really quick and give mindfulness on why I would or wouldn't have them at a large gathering. I have Scout, an Australian Shepherd, who's an ex-convict, used to get in trouble, doesn't get in trouble now, super good with people, super good with dogs. I have Tilly, who's never been bad. She's always been a nice dog, well-socialized, desensitized, been around a ton of people. I have Rebel, who's well-socialized, does good around people, super friendly, but is an extremely high-drive machine. And then I have Cash, who I'm counting Cash just for mindfulness examples. I know I'm it's sure. A whole different topic. Cash is a doodle puppy that I started around a lot of people, getting a lot of attention that, what, Brett? He's thinking something. and he loves that environment. So Scout used to get in trouble. I will forever want to advocate for him. I wouldn't put him in a situation where I'm busy cooking turkey dinner and maybe someone tries to give him a hug that he feels has bad vibes and right. No one's there to speak up for him. So I'm gonna get him out of that unless it's a gathering of two or three people I know and know him. Tilly, I would not have her there because she takes advantage of people. She would be eating off of your plates at the table. She would be in your lap on the couch. She would be...
But she wouldn't get in trouble.
No.
But those people would let her.
But she would take advantage, and it would not help me to have her. That she would just...
But now let's crazy. Talk about okay? Let's talk about that.
Okay.
It wouldn't hurt her because you could fix it in a second.
No, but it wouldn't help what I want her to do.
Right.
It wouldn't be beneficial. There's no benefit for her to
right.
be get...
But it yeah. still wouldn't hurt her. Yeah. It's not like yeah. a jailbird no. that's going to get no. a rehab. Correct.
I could, yeah. but I'm going to mm-hmm. make a mindful decision to not.
For sure. And I mean, just, to me, that's
she
telling,
would be like, a bunch of pushovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's the kind of dog that people at a social event kind of need to take to the social event. Because totally. She's not going to go biting people and dog fighting and
for
getting
sure,
in trouble.
But I'm going to go one
and
step further.
And if you tell her
Cash.
No, she'll leave you alone.
Yeah, but I have not worked as hard with her as I have with Cash on how to flip the off switch.
Right.
I let her get by with more than I let
you
Cash
do all
get
your
by
dogs.
With. Oh, stop. Rebel, too high drive. People yeah. can't handle her. People don't know how to read her body language. If a turkey bone dropped on the floor, someone would be like, oh, you can't eat that, and then try to take it out of her mouth. And then she'd be like, oh,
you think she'd bite him?
If some random stranger tried to steal a turkey bone out of her mouth, do I think she would bite them? No. Would I risk it? Absolutely not. Yeah,
same thing
stupid.
With me. If somebody tried
if
to take
she,
food from me.
If she did bite some, I don't think she would. But if she did, it would 1,000% be my fault for putting her in that situation.
That's fair.
Why would I? She's
That's
just
fair.
Crazy, you know?
Sure. You don't got to offend her.
Okay, so... Cash, I would bring to all family gatherings. I've practiced him doing nothing in high excitement. So he would get in trouble, but I'd be able to send him back to place. If I sent, let's say Cash is getting in trouble and he's eating popcorn out of your snack bowl, and then you're petting him, I could walk over and be like, Cash, and he would come, and then I could send him to place. If I walked over to get Tilly and she's eating out of your popcorn bowl, and you're weak enough, She'll be like,
yeah, she'll just climb up.
What are you going to do about it? Yeah. Cash would take me more seriously because I put in more work. I would be more relevant to him, where Tilly would be like, oh, screw off, you're always busy. You know, she would take advantage. So all four of my dogs could, but I'm aware that I'm not going to be as focused. I'm going to be paying attention to family, paying attention to food, paying attention to whatever. I'm not going to be in a mode where I'm advocating for, training on, and setting my dogs up for success. Cash, I don't care. He's not going to get in trouble. Tilly, she's just going to take advantage, and that's going to irritate me. I'm going to be irritated when she, like, sneaks into someone's lap and eats their turkey dinner, and they're like, oh my god, she's so cute. Look at her. She's eating the turkey. I'm going to be like, damn it. You know what I mean?
Well, I do, and that's what gets people in trouble. Dogs like Tilly is the one they want to hang with, you know, because they are nice but ornery.
And I used to, like, when we even would bring Tilly out for lessons, it used to bother me that she used to always, like, go get in people's pockets because it smells like treats, or she'd lick their fingers because they smell like treats or food. And it used to bother me because I wanted her to not do that. But now I'm like, I don't even care, you know? She only gets in trouble when people encourage it.
Or you allow it.
Well, yeah, but I put her in a lot of situations where I'm managing something else and not managing Tilly.
Right, but I mean, like, here for her, for socializing, I started stealing her a little bit now in my lessons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I never have fooled Tilly. How old is she, 2?
3.
And I've never trained on that dog at all. I mean, I don't even make her do nothing. Now I steal her once in a while, and I put her in place with Mari and Bear, you know, in separate places. She'll actually stay there pretty well, considering I've never worked with her, you know, even in a session.
But if the customer goes better. Over and is like, you're really cute.
But
you're
she's so getting better cute. With me about it, even in the social events. But it's only because me and her has never, what do you call it, goofed off?
Yeah.
Like you and her? And that's the difference with all the dogs and their socialization.
Except for I'm going to bus roll you so bad, but we're going to do a video.
You're going to do what?
I'm going to bus roll you, but we're going to do a video on it.
Bus roll me, run me over?
Mari and Tilly do not behave for you when there's people that are weak in the round pen.
Well, that's...
At the scale you're saying they do.
An opinion. If they're being really bad in a lesson with me, it's because Bianca's.
Just saying.
The family's dogs, we're going to talk about that, which you kind of did right there.
Those are my dogs in the family. What if, let's real life scenario. Janice is hosting Thanksgiving and Lucky and Luca are going to be there and I bring Scout. What should Janice do?
Well, I don't know because I don't know how good Lucky, Scout and
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But if your dogs get along and mingle,
let's say they see each other regularly in the
year. For me, if I'm hosting something and you bring your dog over, I'll probably have you put your dog up.
What if she said I could?
You could let it mingle?
What if she invited Scout to Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, I would
I'm just throwing it out
me,
there.
I would be cautious and watch my own dog that it stays out of trouble because I'm not going to allow her to make the decision on whether my dog is being good.
Right.
Nothing personal to Janice.
So if Scout was impacting her dogs, then she should say, put Scout up.
I'd put him up in a heartbeat. Or if I thought he was.
Yeah.
Or if you're thinking, man, I'm drinking a little bit too much wine, I might not make a real good decision my dog.
Yeah.
I'll put my dog up.
I put my dogs up if I'm drinking wine anyways, because it's like, what if I'm drunk and trip over them?
Well, that's what I'm saying, you just change your whole, what do you call it when you get brave, when you get to drinking, you know?
I don't know.
Brett, you know what I'm talking about?
Confidence?
Yeah, you get too confident.
You'll
let your dog make a mistake because your alcohol or your pot or whatever you're doing has gotten you a little bit out of your normal control of your brain. And I've seen people, not me, of course, but when people drink, I've seen people do that. And they don't make the right decisions all the time. So if you have a dog, for me, you should really, what, advocate? Is that what you call for your dog?
Yeah.
Stand up for your dog, whatever?
Yeah.
So if you're in the family dog deal, it is not an issue for me to ever put my dog up if I think anything is going to happen to my dog, because we spend a lot of time and money and effort on our dogs.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter whose dogs it is. And we put our dogs out with lots of dogs here.
Yeah.
You know, so the difference is us putting our dogs out here with dogs versus going to the family with our dogs, is we can control the dogs that we put our dogs out with.
Yeah.
Where if we go to the family's house and turn our dogs loose, we might not be able to control their dogs. And they might think their dog's having fun, you know, jacking around with our dog, knocking him down on the ground and mounting him and beating on him or whatever, you know, or mouthing him. They may think that's fun because that's the way they do it.
And we might not even be paying attention, and then they get in a fight and no one even knows why.
Yeah, and then you're pissed at your dog, you know, because it got in a fight and you don't know that it was mauled on for 30 minutes while you're drinking wine and bullshitting or fishing, you know. If you're at somebody's house where they got a fishing pond like down Davis and my dog's running, hanging out with his dog. I'm over there fishing. My dog gets in trouble. It's my fault. It ain't David's fault. It ain't David's dog's fault. It's my fault. I'm the one that had my dog on his property.
Yeah.
And I should cover for my dog. And I think that's what people don't do, you know. Bray, you got any questions?
I have.
No questions. You got a lot of people here, though.
No comments either.
Does everybody know us this hair, Brett?
Or I have one.
I
want to ask you a question.
Oh, man.
Brett.
We introduce ourselves again since we got... Do we have new people here, you think?
Yes. I'd say there's probably about five new people here.
So we're going to introduce ourselves.
Just go.
Well, I'm Marvin Pierce, and this is Bianca, my right-hand person. Trains with me and tells me what to do, whether I want to hear it or not, and... Then we have Brett behind the cameras running everything. And Brett has social media where he does a lot of video and picture taking and photography, I guess it is the right word. And you can look him up on our website also. And what is your name here?
Brett Curtis Photography.
Brett Curtis Photography. Yeah. And you can look him up and any pictures I've taken. But we don't, you know, introduce ourselves like we used to once in a while throughout this. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of 3-week board and training programs. Now we do puppies, what do you call it, puppy camp, where we take dogs for 2 weeks, and then sometimes they bring them back for 3 weeks, and then we do a 60-day program for puppies, and we do clinics, different things, here at our place and other people's places. So, you can jump on our website or, you know, contact the office if you got questions about dogs' problems, and it's just everybody here, and we have quite a few employees now. Everybody enjoys what we do. So, Bianca, you want to add anything to that, or are you ready to move on?
No, I'm ready to move on.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question.
Oh, no, you did. You're sitting there like a little kid, vibrate, waiting for his root beer float.
Let's say Brett and I don't drink on a at all regular basis, but like maybe twice a year, we have wine with friends. If your dogs are not used to being around people who drink and have different behavior, do you think that it makes the dog uncomfortable at all to be in a group of people who are drinking when they're not used to being around people who are drinking?
Well, you know, for me, I've heard people say, that's a great question, you know. But it is a great question. I just told somebody the other day, when you come to work in the morning, are the middle of the day, and you bring Scout through the barn and put him in round pen, and I come in round pen, and I haven't seen you, I can almost tell your attitude.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a bad attitude, but you're like round 440, you know, whatever.
Yeah. He matches my energy.
Yeah. With Baron. He's just standing all straight up, just vibrating. Bianca's somewhere is vibrating.
Yeah.
You know? But if he goes in there and lays down with Baron, starts licking his ears and sleeping and shit, then Bianca's had her coffee and her breakfast and life is good. So for me, if I'm going to, and you know, I think it's, again, it's fair for your dog. If you're not a drinking person, which I don't think you and Brett are, I don't ever see y'all staggering around, but if you're going to go party hard tonight, you know, let's say for Halloween. You're going to put your costume on.
Yeah, let's say
on.
We're having people over for a fire.
You're going to put costumes on. You're going to have a little bonfire out there, and a bunch of people are going to be drinking, and they're going to camp all night at your house because you're a really responsible person, and they're not going to drive home drinking, but they're going to be running around. I'd leave my dogs over here in the kennels. I wouldn't even take them home. There's not a reason to. Your dogs ain't going to have fun. They're going to be most likely nervous because it ain't normal, you know. There's a lot of weird-looking monsters running around in your yard and going in and out of your house, and here you have your dog running around. And for the people who can do that, you could do that probably with your dogs, but I see no reason for it.
I err on the side of advocating for my dogs.
Me too, because we see too many bad dogs that got bad for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of bad dogs that we're getting right now, and we're on a roll of it, you know. I just seen a comment somebody the other day said they spent well over $10,000 in training underdog before they brought it here, and we fixed it, you know.
Yeah.
And but we've only fixed it is if that person follows through with what we teach, and I don't even remember what dog it was. Doesn't even matter to me because I mean I don't know how many dogs we've had that way, but we get so many dogs that come here, and a lot of this stuff could have prevented that.
Yeah.
Right trainer, you know, and you can't go by the right trainer because this guy's so nice, which I'll never get accused of that. You know, nobody will be, I went to Marvin because he's so nice. They'll be like, I went to Marvin because he's a prick. He told me the truth. He stood up for my dog, yada, 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 you know. But when you have this family over for Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, for me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if it isn't the same company and family that you see quite often, if they don't do really good with your dog don't do really good with them, board your dog somewhere. It's the same thing for taking your dog. You always got to remember, when you take your dog to a family's house, sometimes that family's dog will own that house and property. And when your dog comes in, they're going to be in trouble already. If they are not a dog fight, they're just going to, their dog might glare at your dog while you're there, you know, and just wait for your dog to make a mistake so that dog can attack your dog. So you always want to be, like me, I don't, Scout, he's kind of my buddy, but at the same time, if he's in your car and your key's in your car, I won't get in your car and move your car, you know. And I probably...
Let's go down my list again. If Scout's in my car and my car needs moved, would you move the vehicle if he's loose? Tilly.
If it's emergency, you know, and I just needed to, I would. But I don't know if I'd leave Scout in the car or if I make him get out.
And then let him get back in even. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Tilly.
Yeah.
You just get in the car. Rebel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would I not?
It's just interesting, you know?
What?
Well, like, right now, we're talking about Bianca's dogs and their problems. Right now, if I was at the gas station and Scout was loose in the back seat and the guy reached his arm in there like an idiot, which they do, sorry. I think if it was Rebel alone in the back seat and if it was Scout alone in the back seat, Rebel's more likely to bite the gas station attendant. But less likely to bite you.
Huh?
Less likely to bite you, though.
Yes.
I think Rebel's... Why is that?
Because I've worked Rebel on stock and I've made Rebel mine.
Yeah.
Not a tremendous amount, but enough that Rebel respects
me. And you kind of leave Scout alone.
I don't bother Scout. And I never bothered Tilly until recently when I started using
But even before you bothered Tilly, you would still get in the car with Tilly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tilly's just happy-go-lucky dog. She don't want to bite nobody.
Cash.
Yeah, he don't want to bite nobody. He might lick you to death. He'd have to slap him off.
He would for sure lick you to death, And if you had coffee, he would drink it.
So let's talk about my dogs, Bear and... Mari, which dog is most likely to bite
someone? Let's change this a little bit. If Bear's in your car and my brother is here, who's never met Bear or Mari, if Bear's loose in your car, I would send my brother to move your car.
For sure.
If Mari was loose in the car, I would not.
I would not either.
Yeah.
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 No. Mari's way more likely.
She reads... people weird sometimes?
Well, see, yes. If you're happy-go-lucky and you want to get in her face, she might bite you.
She will, and it's a matter of 5 seconds where the mistake would happen. Yes. She's never tried to bite anybody.
But, she but if people get in her space away
right
her.
Away, she'll woo, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Get out of my space.
Yeah.
She has a personal bubble if she doesn't know you.
Yeah.
But that personal bubble pops in 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it don't take nothing. As long as you leave her alone. Now, if you don't leave her alone, it don't pop.
If you cornered her, it wouldn't be. Good.
No, she or if you just keep staring at her in a pen, even in a round pen, if you just keep staring at her, she's like,
The key to talking about Mari is that Mari is such a freaking amazing dog.
She is. She's cool.
Super well socialized. Yeah. Love you. Brett can't even believe that we would say not have.
You would have to make Mari bite you, but you could.
You could put her in. If some stranger gets in your car and your dog is loose, the dog might make a mistake.
She might.
And we always err on the side of caution for the dog.
But if you just run in round, and well, the round pen's harder because it's round. But if somebody came in the kennels and they were just stupid and determined they're going to pet my dog and they cornered her, she might bite you. Or if you just open her kennel door and don't let her out and you just go in there with her, it's always possible she'd bite you.
She Bear, would warn you a lot before she
Bear
did,
would lick you to death. Yeah, so, Bianca, do you believe Bear would bite someone if I ask him to?
Depends who. I would bet money you could not get Bear to bite me.
See, Moriah, I think it was, she's the same. She don't think Bear would bite someone on command, and I feel that Bear would bite anyone on command that I set him up to bite.
There's and no I've way. Seen there's this no with, way Bear would bite me.
Yeah,
no.
I just totally 100% disagree.
No. Let's do it.
No, I never let my dog bite somebody.
He wouldn't.
Never. I would never put him in that position. And the reason I would never try it is because I'm so sure that he would bite someone.
No, there's no way.
And it's all mind over matter. Is that what you call it?
How would you get him to bite?
Get him psyched up into the working mode, and he's a whole different dog. Because he'll bite a cow, a goat.
But if there's no livestock present.
It don't matter. All I had to do is psych him up by asking if he wants to go to work. And he'll flip his switch.
I 1,000% disagree.
Well, and I'm glad that you do. Because I don't want you to think my dog will bite people. Because it makes people not comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I remember my dog, I had Jake. He was that way. Tyson Sport. I mean, with Sport, and the same thing is with Sport. Like, if I took this pen and I'm like, watch it, I guess
I see it. I could get Revel to bite someone.
For sure. I mean, and it's the whole thing is, and Sport, I used to do it with him all the time with cattle, you know, working in the chutes, they wouldn't move. But I had a Well, of course, I didn't like my stick, but he would bite my stick. But I would never do it on my finger because he'd bite me. Because he would bite when I asked him to bite. So when you get back to the what we're talking about.
It's just hard for me to believe because I don't ever see Bear get into a working mode without livestock present.
Yeah.
I think I want you to show me that you can get him there without.
Have you never seen him do backflips of cartwheels and ask him if he wants to go work cows?
Yeah, but it's not the same as when he gets out there and his teeth are chattering. You know what I mean?
Well, but it's all about focus.
Yeah.
Well, Bianca's going to lose sleep over this tonight. So, Bianca, you got me off of our podcast.
Oh, I did. We're talking about it because we're talking about... You know what? Well, I'm just going to make a statement. You know what's so hard for people that I wish I could help them see? We were talking about this morning. Is that a dog is a predator.
Yeah, go ahead and listen.
That's it?
Hey, if anybody wants to buy my black walnut bar, let me know. I'm thinking about selling it and building a new one. I'm building one right now, but I'm going to take it to my house. If it was built differently, I could put it in here. It'd be cool, but... So, Bianca, let's talk some...
I got him off topic.
Yeah, let's talk some more. That's okay. Let's talk some more about the hobbies. Or what do we have? We had to stay on this, right?
No.
Well, I mean, have we touched this good enough for you?
I don't know.
Well, we went over everything here.
No.
What did we not go over?
What about dogs getting in the trash and counter surfing? And the risks of
dogs
that.
Getting into the trash?
Yeah, and counter surfing. Some people might say that boarding a dog over the holidays is really expensive.
Oh, I was waiting for this because I thought I had to wait until you'd done that to do these.
Well, you took my notes from me.
Dogs getting in trash. We will talk because I just talked to me and Kay maybe yesterday was talking about this. About dogs going into the kitchen to get in trouble. And Kay said her dogs are not allowed in her kitchen.
Yeah.
Most of the time, not always, because some people have office trash can in their office, like Irene does.
Uh-huh.
And I'm amazed that Libby, well, I'm assuming, don't ever get in this trash can. I never see her in there. And once in a while, somebody will throw a sandwich wrapper in there. I try to put mine outside, you know, just so they don't smell. But if you have a dog that gets into your trash, I don't know. Is that called an ill-mannered dog?
Okay, I'm going to use my example for this. If I left Scout in Irene's office and there was food in that trash can and we left long enough, he would scope the perimeter and get in the trash. I'd bet money.
I don't doubt it.
If I left hot chicken nuggets in my car in a bag, he would not get into it.
Sealed up. Or a paper bag.
Open.
Really?
He would leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know why?
Brett don't seem like he agrees, but why?
We can test it.
Why?
Because I've set Scout up to train,
on him
in the car. And
what about your house?
He doesn't really get into food in the house. We don't leave it out. I mean, he would...
That's
kind of a complicated question because we have a tiny home.
At the apartment, he ate a burrito, but we kind of...
We addressed that. Yeah. I would feel comfortable having a dinner at the apartment that we lived in and leave the burrito on the table after.
See, I would never leave food out around my dogs if I was hungry.
But I know that's the thing. We trained on him because of that. Because we literally, the first time it happened, set the burrito on the table and went to the kitchen, and there's not even doors we go through. We just left the room, and he swallowed the burrito whole so fast. And Brett was pissed. So we set him up and trained on him with the other burrito. And then we could go to the kitchen.
Only one burrito left, and you train your dog.
And leave, and we would trust him, and we went out the front door, and we could trust him. But we set that scenario up to train on him.
I've
never set him up to train on him in Irene's office trash can. I have no doubt in my mind that he would be like, never gotten in trouble for this before. I'm getting in there. But he would wait. He wouldn't do it right when we left, and he would scope. He'd be like, is there anybody watching?
You see a couple deals on TV all the time where they do that. The dog set it there in a couch and a coffee table, and somebody puts food on the coffee table, and you leave it alone.
Yeah.
And they leave, and the dogs look at one another.
And the only reason I'd say I trust Scout with food in the car is I set him up when I wasn't present, and he knows there's a serious consequence.
And there's so many times that people set their dogs up to get in trouble with the food and trash, you know.
Not in a train on him way. Just
They just leave their plate there.
Leave the dog loose.
Yeah, and let the dog go in the kitchen and smell the food. Same thing with a steak hanging over the countertop and... Here you leave your dog in there for 30 minutes while you're, I don't know, playing on your phone or going to the bathroom or whatever. Take a phone call and you leave your dog there. Good job, Bianca. You leave your dog there to decide, do I want the steak or do I not?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, is the tongue lashing worth it? Hell yeah. All they're going to do is yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And I get a steak.
Yeah.
So why not eat the damn steak?
And sometimes, you know what I hate that I see on the internet? The dog eats the steak, and then the people are like, oh, what did you do?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
They literally just shame the dog, and they're like, he really regrets it, and he feels bad. No.
No, he's going to eat another one.
You treat the dog like crap.
Yeah.
You're scolding him, so he's uncomfy.
But he's going to eat the next steak.
I know. I know. He's not regretful. He doesn't have remorse over that. You're scolding him. You're making him feel terrible for it.
Growing up, I've seen that with kids. I've seen my buddies, you know, get yaddy, 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 for doing something wrong. Man, they just sulked, you know.
Yeah.
And for a day or two, and then they do it again. I got my ass beat, And I didn't sulk, and I didn't do it again.
Yeah.
Well, depending on who whipped me. If it was Mom, I might, because she whipped very hard. But depending on what I want to do, what the consequences was. And that's the thing with treat training world over a real consequence for a dog is, you know, the... Well, we're not going to get into talking about training your dog, right, for trash.
Yeah.
So dogs counter surf, and we just kind of touched on that a little bit.
Yeah. Do we have any comments?
Yeah, Mo Raya said, if I leave the room and I tell Ryder to not take my food, he won't. But if I forget, he'll eat it.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. I believe that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
If you don't tell him to leave it alone, he thinks it's his.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and eat it. Yeah, I could see him not dropping none down.
I've never trained on Rebel not eating food in the car, and I had food in the car today, and I looked back, and she had her head in the bag that the food was in, and I said, Rebel! And she was like, oh.
You can't have that?
She laid down, you know, she's like, but nobody told me,
yeah,
you know,
I
just told her no, and then she left it alone, but when I just put her in the back seat, and I've never trained on her to stay out of a little bag full of food, she was like, they left me snacks.
Yeah,
it's like an Uber refreshments.
Hey, Bo Raya, did you have Uber to deliver you food to our house the other night?
DoorDash.
Yeah, not Uber.
We got a DoorDash delivery from a Mo Raya.
Can't tell who what it is, or we'll have 15 people want to come get it.
We're not allowed to say what it is.
No.
We can't just go off the honest system.
No, hell no.
Mo Raya said no. Paula said, Pi is an expert counter surfer, especially with his height. He's either put in place or in the living room.
You know, for me, I think that, well, we're not talking about training the dog not to do it.
You can tell her what to do.
Well, for me,
if they've trained with us and the dog has a foundation and understands what you're going to tell her to do, it's fair.
Well, for me, you take the dog out of the kitchen and keep him out of the kitchen. Don't lie him in the kitchen. It don't matter.
I think maybe he might get things from the kitchen.
Huh?
Huh?
What?
What?
If your dog is...
Let me ask a question to Paula. Does Pi ever get any food from the kitchen?
Well,
with the dog in the kitchen.
For sure. He probably gets teeth.
That's the first place you need
pork
to start.
Pork chop bones.
Quit feeding the dog anything in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Paula said kennel.
He doesn't ever get any human food while you're cooking in the kitchen. None. No droppings, nothing.
Quiet.
So I think that
Paula,
what did she say?
She hasn't said anything.
She probably laughed.
I hear the crickets.
Yes or no question? Ever gotten human food in the kitchen?
Pleading the fifth. They probably don't get in the kitchen because she throws it out.
She's swearing me right now.
I think for me, if you want to train your dogs, it's a matter of what level of training do you want to have on your dog. How much fun do you want to have on your dog? Did you see Boots' thing about wanting us to do a podcast about their dog?
No.
Oh, he got a 4-page letter he wrote us about wanting us to
do. Where are your notes and why aren't we doing that podcast?
Because you told me we're doing your podcast.
Well, I didn't even know there was another one we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, he asked us to do his.
Okay, well, I'll write that one for tomorrow.
Paula Smith says, he has, but I put him in the kennel.
Okay, so you've changed that. You fixed problem one, which is feeding them out of the
kennel.
Feeds
two bones in the kennel.
And then what's the next thing you would do? Let's say...
If you don't allow your dog in the kitchen...
Period.
Then they will not counter
surf.
If you...
What if you... Hang on. I've been to her house. What if you have to walk right by the counter to get to your place bed?
Well, I make, you know...
He has to. He has to walk around the couch and walk right by the counter.
But he can only go by there if he's been asked to.
Okay.
If you're not asking him to go by there, he should stay out of the kitchen. For me, I would back up a step and not allow my dog in the kitchen. And then if you want to go a little bit more... if you just can't live life without staring at your dog while you're cooking dinner, you know, you could allow him in there while you're in there and make him sit down, place, whatever.
That's unnecessary.
But,
don't
well, it's
that.
Way unnecessary.
Not unnecessary for Paula and Pi. She can see them from the kitchen. when they're.
But I would just cut the rules of my dog not allowed in my kitchen. Yeah. If I had to pass through my kitchen to go in or out of the house.
You make the counter hot.
He could only go through it with me.
Yeah.
And he couldn't stop and steal off my counter.
Yeah.
So, Brett, do we got anything else?
Yeah, Rochelle said, when I lived in an apartment, there was such an easier line that Chevy couldn't pass.
Yeah. And a lot of people will put down that blue painter's tape.
Yeah.
To make a line. Just don't leave it down too many years because it might.
And then they're only allowed to cross the boundary if you ask them.
And the same thing with people who have property that walk down to the mailbox, you know. You see so many people that can't make their dog come to them. They can't make their dog lay out in the yard and stay. But when they go to the mailbox, they can make their dog sit. And then 40 feet from their street, and then they go on out and get mail. But when they come back and release the dog, they can't do shit with them no more.
They got serious about that training because they were worried about them getting hit by a car.
Yeah, one thing they got really serious about, but nothing else. And that's the thing for me when people come to their dogs that they can shake hands and they can lay down and roll over and play dead when you shoot them with your finger, but they can't catch them or they can't get a ball from them, you know. You've just kind of forgotten something in your training, I think. I remember whenever somebody that works for me used to teach their dogs tricks before they'd done all the other stuff. And it normally backfires, from my perspective. So, Brett, you got anything else?
Paul said, I agree that he shouldn't be in the kitchen, but he does get there when going outside or to the garage. When cooking, I make him stay up.
Then how does he steal food?
He counter-surfs.
How does he counter-surf? He only goes through there with her. So.
Okay, so reviewing a few reasons you should board your dog if you've invested in the money to train them. Keep them out of trouble over the holidays. Company not respecting the dog's boundaries. Food out and about that can make them sick. Excitement, stress, overstimulating. Humans not focused on behavior or training, the owners. Dog is out of their normal routine. Dog might not even be getting exercise the same way because you're so busy cooking turkey
for
dinner.
Sure.
And then if there's alcohol or recreational things involved, those are just a few reasons not to have your dog around for large family gatherings.
And bad dogs coming over.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you got people.
You have the right to tell your family to leave their dogs at home.
Yeah. Most people can't. I would. I mean, I don't like people to come on and let their dog piss in my house, you know. Or eat my steak off.
Unless you've regularly gotten those dogs together.
For sure. Or you know their dogs are good.
Yeah.
You see so many people here, even family members that board and train their dogs.
Even if
home.
The two dogs are really good, the first time I get them together would not be at a large family gathering
no.
when there's recreational things happening and stress and you're busy. That's just not smart.
No.
Not smart.
It's not the best choice.
That's
in the
being
world.
Stupid in a no stupid zone, you say.
Yeah.
Although I heard him the other day say it nicer, he said that's being not smart in a be smart zone.
Paula said he counter serves if he is not in place and he passes through on his own.
Which dog is this?
Pie.
We're working on keeping him out of the kitchen.
Well, for me to work on keeping my dog out of the kitchen takes approximately 3 to 10 seconds. Just saying.
She's going to schedule an in-home lesson right after this Facebook Live.
You know,
I'm going to send Marvin this time.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I think they do.
Yeah, people want the nice people.
Oh, whatever. Sometimes
so,
I don't
Brett,
think
what
I
do
am
you got?
The nice people.
That's it?
That's it? So, yeah. Bianca, you got anything you want to add to this?
I'm the nice person in the
podcast.
Beginning. And then once I have the rapport, I'm meaner than you.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but... You got anything you want to add to this, Bianca?
No.
I'm trying to stay on track. I think I done pretty good.
Oh, you did?
Pretty good list I got.
Give you a good grade.
So what about rapid fire? You got any crazy-ass rapid fire stuff, or do you try to use it and fail?
Rapid fire. I have a 1.5-year-old dog that is sometimes reactive on walks. Should I get another dog?
Nope.
I have a 6-month-old puppy that's really good. Should I get another dog?
No.
I have a shelter dog that I just got that hasn't gotten in any trouble. Should I get another dog?
No.
I have a 3-year-old dog that's trained and really good and not getting in any trouble. Should I get another dog?
If you get help and are make sure that you're good with your new dog when you get it.
I have 2 dogs that have both been trained and they're doing really well, and I check in with my trainer and I don't have any problems. Should I get another dog?
If you can handle the time to train on a new dog to make sure it's cool.
Yeah. Should I get another dog?
No. No. No.
I said that just to trigger you.
Trying to add to the pack. You know, how many dogs is too many dogs for somebody, Bianca?
No, we're not getting into this.
Rapid fire, let's go.
I do not have too many dogs.
I'm asking you questions.
I don't have too many dogs.
Rapid fire.
How many dogs is too many dogs?
Cash would not throw off my pack.
We're not asking you how many too many for you. I feel that every dog that someone has different issues.
Yeah, it all depends. You know where I'm at with my pack?
We're not talking about you.
But I'm giving an example. I've realized Tilly and Rebel are so different, and their body language is different, and their instincts are different, and the way I raise them is different, and their drive is different. They don't just mesh. Even if you owned them both.
So what if this was a client and they had these 3 dogs?
Yeah.
What would you recommend they do?
Fix these 2.
What if they can't fix them theirself mentally?
That's rude.
What would you recommend they do?
What do you recommend I do?
I'm asking you what you would recommend high dollar paying, working hard kind of person that's become our client. If they came with these 3 dogs, what would you recommend they do?
I think I would recommend what I'm currently doing.
And what are you currently doing?
Currently, I have very high quality one-on-one time with this dog. And I sometimes do things with Rebel and Scout and Cash. And I only involve Tilly in those things if I'm focused on training Rebel and Tilly's respect to one another and I'm not playing with toys. And then I have one-on-one time with Tilly and I'm working on Tilly not being so addicted to her ball drive. I'm treating them as individuals and not just throwing them together and expecting them to be able to handle it at this point. I have one-on-one time with each dog, and I only do group work if I'm in the mood to train on what they need to work on.
I got to process this, and you'll have to check back later.
Why?
Because that could give me a headache.
Why? What would you say I should be doing?
Well, I don't know.
I have 0 problems with Scout, Rebel, and Cash. I have 0 problems with Cash, Tilly, and Scout, regardless of what kind of things are involved that get them in trouble. High energy. I can run Rebel and Cash with the 4-wheeler and they don't get in trouble. Rebel doesn't give a shit about Cash.
So let's say, I don't even know if we should do all this on air because I think it's probably going to hurt your feelings or something.
But okay.
It's just really hard when you get there. I've been where you're at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, way worse than this. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dogs want to kill one. Now, your dogs just kind of, if they get into it, they just argue, and you kind of tell them quit, and they probably go their separate ways and pout until you give them a cheeseburger, you know? It's always hard, but if this was a client, mm-hmm, I'd say get rid of Rebel.
Get out.
For you, I won't say get rid of Rebel.
I just fired you as my dog trainer.
I won't tell you to get rid of Rebel because it's good for your training world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't mean that I would really fire you, because I feel like if you tell me to get rid of Rebel right now, you don't really mean it. You know?
Well, I wouldn't tell you to get rid of Rebel.
Unless you really meant
it. Well, for sure. But yeah. I mean, we're talking about you.
Yeah.
Versus a client.
And the reason,
if it was a client, I would tell me to get rid of Rebel because she's got a short circuit. She's just like,
I have a short circuit.
I know. That's why y'all kind of fit together. But you know your limitations with Rebel.
I do. And
you
I'm learning.
And you have a facility that helps you.
Well, and this is what I'm passionate about.
Well, and learning. I mean, if you ever, I would already have these dogs mastered, but you're still working at it, you know. It takes you a little longer to figure it out.
Yeah, but you don't get carried away and do as crazy stuff that I do with them. You just wouldn't. You don't even take them home, you know?
Well, sure. But I've only ever had this with two dogs, and that was Slick and Cross.
Yeah.
But they fought to kill. They didn't argue.
These two don't.
No, no, that's what I said. My dogs just like, go sew them up or bury them if you didn't.
And they don't fight if I'm paying attention.
Yeah. That's when you're not looking at it. All right, so Brett, we good?
You got a question from someone in Kendra Brown. She said, we got a new dog that is 100% addicted to the ball. She even falls asleep with it in her mouth. Any tips on breaking the
addiction? Yes, I would fix it.
Get rid of the ball for a while.
Well, I mean, I would train on my dog. Yeah. Who is this?
Her name's Kendra.
So I would take, I don't know, I back up and train the dog. I'd make it set down place. Recall 100%. I mean, I would kind of start there, and then I would make it drop the ball, and I'd teach it to leave the ball and walk away. I'd be like, well, for me, it was always that'll do, but and I would make my dog walk away with me, and I'd kick the ball, make my dog leave the ball alone. I'd throw the ball, make my dog set stay. I'd walk away with my dog going the other way, make it leave the ball over there. I'd kick the dog, or dog, I'd kick the ball by my dog and make my dog stay on place.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just desensitize it to that. You can't desensitize a dog to a ball by taking the dog and the ball and keeping it separated, you know? I went to a clinic one time, and the person told people there that, well, if you have to, put the ball on top of the microwave, on top of the refrigerator, so the dog can't watch it. Don't jump on your back while you're doing it. That is not the way to fix a dog with a toy, a ball, or whatever. You have to teach them that they can have that object when you ask them.
And I messed this up so bad with Tilly because I loved how ball-driven she was. I missed that because I didn't have a retriever. Scout, my Australian Shepherd, did not have ball drive. And so I loved that. And then I fed it and I added to it and I trained more and I added more things to the ball and more and more and more. And then I had this overflowing cup of ball drive and I was like, I did too much.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. And for me, I tell people all the time, like the dog that you're talking about, sometimes you train on it so hard, it'll be like, well, I don't want to play fetch no more. It's like, okay, fix my problem.
Yeah.
Now they'll go by. I've never seen a ball-driven dog that wouldn't go back playing fetch.
Yeah. It's okay to take it off their menu for a short time to
But you won't take it off by hiding it.
Right.
It's not like an alcoholic that you just take the beer away long enough they get over it. With a ball, I don't think they would get over it.
Right.
I think you just have to really train on a dog about the ball drive.
Yeah.
And if you're around, let us know. We'd be glad to do some lessons with you or something if you need some help.
Yeah, that's something that's pretty common that you guys train on, I think, right?
What's that?
Absolutely.
Is that something pretty common that you guys train on?
So all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It's some kind of prey drive, whether it be a ball, frisbee, dog food.
Yeah, drive.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it all comes back to the same thing.
Anything else?
I think I'm good. Bianca, you good?
Yes.
Okay.
Ready to jump off here?
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.